This is CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired. South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty? Huh?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-man, the bad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy, G-Man the Ant-Man, and we are back at it. Hey, hey, who the funk it? Well, I did thunk it. I did kind of thunk it. You knew I'd be back here. How the fuck have you guys been, man? Sorry, I saw it in the first minute of the year. But welcome back, man. So good to have you guys back. So good to be back in the studio. And I walked up in here and everyone was like, hey, man. Hey, the noise is back. Huge shout out to Palisa, the technical arm of the show, for getting us started once again. Once you go away for about 6 weeks, you know, you unlearn certain things. You've learned some bad habits over the holidays, and then you unlearn some things that you learned in the past. So I'm really happy that you're here with me, Palisa. Thank you. I got some guests in the studio with me. I'm gonna introduce them to you guys in a little bit. But I mean, if you follow me on social media, you'll know that you'll notice who's going to be in the suit. But he brought the entire. You know what I mean? You know when people say they run squad deep? this man is squad deep. But you know what? In fact, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna introduce the man I told you is coming to the studio, and then what we're gonna do is I'm gonna let him introduce the rest of his squad, right? Because that's how you do, you know what I mean? And also, like, you guys should see this man's haircut. You know, guys, you know, like, you know, that's how you know somebody's ready for the year. You know what I mean? Like, you know what, man? You're gonna know me. You know, like, I remember back in the day when, like, I remember when soccer players used to dye their hair so that scouts can spot them. You know what I mean? I'm like, but if all of you guys are dyed, guys, then, you know what I mean? So you just end up with all of Soweto looking like the Ines Cisco video. But that's a whole other thing. We'll chat about that another time. So, in the studio with me today, guys, I mean, some of you guys might know him from social circles, but a lot of you are going to know him from advertising circles and from filmmaking circles and from, like, you know, just the all-around making of dope things. And we're going to get into it. We're going to chat about him, about where he comes from, but that's later. We have a lot to get through today. But guys, so in the studio with me today is a man that I've come to know, love, and respect, and whose work has made me. But you okay? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know what? These are those first week technical glitches. Yeah. Are we okay now? Oh, guys. Anyway, so I was saying, before Balisa interrupted me, that in the studio with me today is a guy that I've come to know, love, and respect, and whose work essentially speaks for itself, really. And you guys, you know, like those things where people kind of go, I didn't know that guy did that. You know, he's one of those guys. You know what I mean? You don't know some of the dope shit that he's done that actually has his name or has his fingerprints on it. So in the studio with me today is Mr. Rebs Silukino. What's going on?
Yeah.
Rebs, what's up, man? He's giving the horse. You got the first horn of the year.
Yeah, first horn of the hall. Thank you very much, man.
Well, what's going on, Rebs?
It's all good.
Yeah, how was your December? How was your rest?
December was chilled, actually.
Yeah.
More work than chill.
Okay.
So
But that's the right kind of chill, isn't it?
Yeah, look, you never really get to close down when you try and establish and run your little shop.
That's
you know?
Up, yeah.
So the excitement of
he calls it a little shop. He calls it a little shop. Tell us about it. Tell us about refs. tell us about your what you call in the little shop.
So I'm the executive producer at Chalk Milk and Cookies Productions.
Boom!
Hello.
You guys heard that, right?
Hello.
And he brought pretty much everyone from Chalk Milk and Cookies into the stew with him today. Do you want to introduce everybody that you brought into the stew with you?
Yeah. I'll start from the top. Yep. I'm with Pakiso Albertus.
Hello, Pakiso. What's up? Are you well?
Good.
Yeah, you wanna come closer to the mic, but
am I too far?
Yeah. Cool. Producers do this as well, you know, like when you're amongst people, they make it seem like they're not as vicious as they actually are.
Ha.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Are you well, Pakiso?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm very good. Good to have you in the stew.
Thank you.
Come on, tell us, man.
And then we've got Kupugile. She's one of our interns.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, everybody.
How are you doing, Kupugile?
I'm good, thanks, Ori.
Okay, intern, hey.
Mm-hmm.
When did you start with Raps?
With Raps last year, October.
In October?
Yes.
Yeah? And how's it been? How many coffees have you made?
none, hey? None.
They don't have you making coffees?
No.
Internship has changed, guys, you know?
Yo, man. These kids are having it smooth. I promise you.
Well, it's good to have you guys in the stew. Hopefully, we're going to find out more about you. And we got one more person in the stew.
And then we've got SA2. She's also our intern.
Hello, SA2.
Hi, guys. How
are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. You know, she's not nervous at all. She's in there.
I'm trying to play low key because everyone else is low key. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let me just blend in the background right here.
Oh, guys, I'm excited as fuck. Oh, man, it's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it, guys. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I love the energy. You know what I mean? Because I also think that you're right. I said to you, it feels like if anybody who knows Raps also knows, like, you know, he knows how to play the low key thing. But I get the feeling that you guys are gonna help him out low key this entire fucking day. He's gonna be chasing you guys around so much, there's gonna be no low key out of here. So yeah, man, guys, it was a crazy couple of weeks towards the end of last year. And there's a whole bunch of things that happened. But you know what? I don't wanna dwell on too much that happened last year. Oh wait, before we carry on. Guys, you know, I'm so out of practice. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man, but hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blaxem, at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter. And we have that WhatsApp number where you can call me at. Don't call me on the WhatsApp number. Text me on the WhatsApp number because I'm not going to pick up the calls there. But the number is 079-748-2090. So you can hit me up. Send us some messages, any questions you might have for Raps and his crew out there. And then I also mentioned on my timelines and stuff that, you know, some interesting things happened to me towards the end of last year. And I know you guys. I know your type. I know you guys have questions and comments and things. So hit me up. One night only. Or should I say one morning only? I'll answer some of your questions as much as I possibly can. I'll answer as much as my contract allows me to. let's not get in trouble. And we got kids to put through school. Anyway, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. Hit me up. So, it was amazing. I'm glad we're past the Omunye phase in our lives.
Phew.
Because... But talk about, you know, how something can take over. You know what I mean? Like I saw videos and shit, right? Of people in Namibia. Right, who didn't even know what the song meant. Mm. Right, they were just like, hey, people in South Africa, just tell us what the fuck this song means, because it got people going crazy and shit. You know, like for me, I think, you know, that's the definitive type of work that I think all of us want to do. You want to do the kind of work that makes people go, shit, I don't even know what it is, but I love it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, how what do you make of that takeover, Raps, of the takeover of that whole phenomenon, and how music can actually do that?
You know, music is amazing in a lot of ways. I mean, that specific song, I heard my mother was singing it throughout the festive season.
Which can also get a little disturbing.
And I was like, okay. So clearly I'm the only one that's not so excited about
this song, yeah.
Whole vibe. I mean, I love the song. I think it's a very catchy song.
Yeah.
And that's what music should do.
Yeah.
And encompass everyone. And you know you've done well if you can get a 60-year-old, an 80-year-old, and a 5-year-old singing to the same tune.
So,
you know?
But I guess the point I'm making is that, you know, it's all art, right? And it's pretty much all what we all do, right?
Yeah.
And what you want to do is you want to essentially aim to get to be that pervasive, even in the work that we do, right? And somehow we manage to like think that we segment things. You kind of go, no. As long as the 18 to 25-year-olds get it, then you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that kind of thing. And musicians are actually so clear about it. Pretty much at the end of every year, they're like, this year we're chasing what's going to be the song of the, or that's going to be like not song of the year essentially, but Elko Kaolanya Wahakao. You know, so like the December the 31st song, right? But do you think that there's a certain energy that you have to put into your work in order to understand and believe that it's going to be the thing? Or is this like, is it all chance? Or do we all just make stuff and kind of go, yeah, maybe, you know, it'll do something?
You know, people like your DJ Kios and your Athama Fukates have kind of like nailed
shout out
this.
Vuvuzela. The original Vuvuzela. Shout out, man.
Shout out. I think they've kind of...
Everybody's doing ugly things now in this.
Yeah, look,
anyway,
let's move on.
Let's move on.
Grow up and we do other things. I think they've nailed it, you know, in a way that they realize that you get a catchy song.
Yeah.
Get it with the dance that goes with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Keep repeating the same thing.
Yeah, don't make it complicated for the people.
Look, you gotta indoctrinate your listeners with the same type of beat. Consistent. Because even if you don't like the song, but because it's so repetitious, it sticks
with
you. There. And you find yourself singing it and you're like, but I hate the song. What the hell?
Yeah. Do you think then that's also one of the things that we do in what we in kind of our industry, that sometimes we complicate our messaging so much that actually if you just have the same message that actually is clear and it's easy for people to digest, then you have recallability, you have all those other things. Whereas we sometimes try to put the client's entire brand purpose in one ad.
Yeah, look, obviously with us it's tricky because there's so many hands in that pie and everyone is out there trying to
check. Maybe those hands are the problem.
Maybe that's why creative and money becomes a... That's why we need producers. Otherwise, if we were going alone, we wouldn't get the message across as the client wants it and they're paying for it after
that's
all.
That's what's up, yeah.
But I think... With us, it gets tricky because now everyone wants to have a bit of a say.
Yeah.
Kind of like shape it to where they think it works for them.
Yeah.
Whereas as musicians, you're sitting there in the studio, there's just a bunch of you, and you're all creatives.
Yeah.
You know, you agree on something, that's what goes.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, and we spoke about this quite a bit as well last year, that like, that we have a responsibility to essentially hold the hands of our clients and pretty much everyone around us into this place of making better work. Because if we all just keep nodding, then things are going to look the way they do and we're not going to be able to make breakthrough work because, you know, I'm afraid that I'm not going to get the bigger budget anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know what I mean? And so it's quite a complex little mess that we've got, but we've also got a brand new year ahead of us where we're going to fix this shit.
It is a mess.
Yeah. So hold on. So while we're talking about this, right? So in the festive season, I also saw that FNB used Agana Mali.
Yeah.
that was a big sigh in the studio.
Yeah.
Shout out to the homies that made that. I actually, to be honest, I quite liked it. I quite liked the use of the music. You know,
I liked it too. I think
because it made sense. You know.
Yeah. And I like that they didn't keep the song throughout.
Yeah. Kind of like exactly.
They used it specifically to that point that they needed to make.
No. You shout out. Yeah. I'm glad you said something positive because now I can say their names. You shout out to the guys at Fox Beat 2, Joe.
Hello.
If it is you guys, and you shout out to whoever it is made that stuff. I think that it was, the use of the music was actually pretty dope. They knew what time of the year it was. They knew exactly that song was one of the things that like was ramping up to become one of the popular songs, and they used it. They used it properly until he said, "Ah, ganata." Yeah.
So a very good friend of mine, which we mostly know in the circle, Melusi Shabalala.
Yeah.
Some time ago.
Shout out, big man.
Shout out,
Tobit man.
The Zulu man himself.
That's the song.
he said to me some long time ago, you know, when I was studying art in the industry, and I remember wanted to do all dope work, and he said to me, you know what, if you're going to chase on trying to do dope work,
that's what's up.
You got to do work that resonates to the majority of the people.
That's what's up.
So
I'm all
you can
for that.
Get yourself out there.
I'm all
for
that.
Once you start speaking to that demographic and you speak to it loyally and in a very clear and authentic tone, you can't go wrong.
I can't agree with that more. Because, you know, like I said, I mean, it's very easy for us to also, like, you know, go up our own asses and kind of go, you know, I just want to create a definitive work, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to make the work that's like going to define a generation. No, my man, you're also selling drama. You know what I mean? So let's sell some shit that's going to resonate with people and make people actually understand what the hell you're doing. Otherwise, if we were just artists, then we'd be under a bridge writing poetry and painting ourselves under a bridge. You know what I mean? So I think I thought that was really cool. So huge shout out to the guys at F&B who made the track with Agana Mali. I'm pretty sure that the artist Unemali now because the royalties. But I think that's really, really dope. So before that, you know what I do? I just want to give a quick shout out to some guys. Then I promise I'll give a quick shout out to, you know, when you sometimes in December you go to places and be like, ah, G-Man, that man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, damn it, I'm getting props. I didn't bargain for that part. But that's all. But I want to give a quick shout out to the guys at the Wing Republic, KOL Lounge, White House, Ndofaya Lifestyle Corner, The Soaping, The Cookout, and all those entertainment brands that I know are going to be doing some dope things and bigger things this year. I've got your back. But you know, eventually we're gonna must have each other's backs because there's nothing for free.
Nothing like a free lunch, Josie.
That's what's up. But these are guys that I noticed like throughout December, and in fact, just towards the end of the last year, we're doing some big things. You know, like little brands that were started off by people that I'm fortunate enough to know, but actually just growing shit exponentially. And I just hope that, you know, this new year brings you guys some bigger shit. Check out these brands that I just mentioned and go see what the guys are up to. Some big things like one, as the rest of people say. Anyway, so I heard this thing, right? That people... you know this. I can't not talk about Ndofaya, man. Come on.
More fire.
but somebody was talking about, you know, vaping? Those e-cigarettes.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Those beautiful things that we all love at restaurants. No one loves them. We only love them in those videos where they're making those amazing big smoke circles.
Yeah.
But they're planning on banning the ads for the vapes as well, right? Because just like they ban cigarettes, everyone's just like, oh, you're encouraging the kids to smoke and. Now I've always been like, because the conversation is also happening about alcohol advertising.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been kind of weirded out by that conversation, because this is like when people try to blame video games for violence, you know, or try to blame porn for sex, you know. It's like, guys, you are gonna do it anyway. You know what I mean? And you shouldn't be blaming advertising for people's behaviors and shit. But like, I'd like to get your opinion on stuff like that, because like they're saying kids are being lured by things like the advertising, things like the chocolate cream flavor.
Yeah.
And they want, I mean, get the fuck out of here. The fact that there's something in chocolate cream, are kids the only people that eat chocolate cream, and you are not going to be tempted by that? And now they want to ban the advertising of all that shit because they feel like it's just luring kids into a bad place. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a tough one, hey?
Yes, I feel like you've spoken too much. You've spoken a lot for now, right? I actually hear from the kids. I hear from the kids. How do you guys feel about that? Do you feel that it's okay for people to blame things like advertising and be able to pull it back because they feel like it's influencing kids?
I don't think so. I feel like at the end of the day, it's all about the parenting.
Boom!
If you have good parents,
the kids, guys,
good parenting, it's all good.
Yeah.
I grew up watching TV, but I don't smoke cigarettes.
That's what's up.
But
in your era, cigarette adverts were gone.
Yeah, but okay, in terms of alcohol, I can say I do drink a little, but listen.
Yeah.
I can control myself. My parents used to tell me, don't do this. Obviously, I mean, we kids. You're gonna wanna experience.
That's right.
Or what. But at the end of the day, it's all about your control. Can you discipline yourself
exactly
when you're out there?
So to be able to blame the media is a cop out.
You know?
I absolutely think
that's
so.
That's what I feel.
What do you think?
I absolutely disagree. Absolutely.
Oh, here we go.
We cannot underestimate the power that media has. Okay. If advertising didn't work, then there wouldn't be advertising. If it didn't work, then there wouldn't be such big budgets for advertising. So we cannot actually underestimate the way that that signaling can actually, you know, create a culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you saying then, by that token, then you're saying that, like, then anything that could lead someone down a different path should not be advertised, which is pretty much everything. Because if you think about food, the world has obesity issues, right?
Yeah.
If you think about alcohol, right? If you think about things like insurance,
yeah.
Like people are always talking about insurance as a scam.
Yeah.
Then we shouldn't be advertising anything by that token because of how influential all those things are and how people can go too far with all those things, right? So I mean how does that compare to your argument?
I mean, I feel as though people still have their own ability to decide, you know, what's right and wrong and be able to decipher, you know, what they're gonna do. But at the end of the day, youth are quite you can influence them. They're more easy to influence.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm saying. So
I hear you. I mean, some of what you're saying is absolutely right. I actually agree with some of what you're saying, but I do think that we can't discount the parenting part of it. You
no,
know,
like not I'm not at all. Yeah. No, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Raj, you've got your hands full. Yeah, my man.
Yo, man.
It's gonna be a long couple
you
of a couple of months.
Them right.
Okay, cool. But you know what I like to also talk about now is some of the things that I think. Like, you know, like, the internet has always been, it's been inundated with people talking about the things we're done with.
Yeah.
The things we're done with from 2017 that we're not bringing into 2018 with us. And people have opinions about all this shit. And I have a few here, and I'd like to get some of your guys' opinions on some of the stuff that you guys are leaving. Okay. One of the first things I'm leaving in 2017 is the Arsenal Football Club.
That's a big one.
Arsenal, I'm done. I feel like you've hurt me enough. I mean, I say I'm done now, but I think I've also become addicted to the pain. So, I'm done for the first
You're
couple
like
of weeks.
Yeah, fan, aren't you?
I feel like I live off the pain, so I'm done with those guys. But one of the things that I think we all should be done with is talking about how busy we are. Yes, like I don't know the amount of times I've heard people. I mean, ask someone how you doing, they go, "Oh, bro, I was so busy, eh?" Like, every day we're not busy. Every day we're not busy. So I'm hoping we can leave that behind. And then one that's linked to that is being so busy being in advertising that you're not doing any advertising at all. I break it down for you. Mm. You're so busy being in advertising that you're not doing any advertising at all. You're living everything else that people are saying is advertising. Everything else that people say advertising people do, including carrying of the pencils and the Wacom pen
sketchbook,
and the sketchbooks and all that. You walk around with all that shit. You do everything else that advertising people say they do, except the advertising part. So I'm hoping we'll leave that behind. You don't have an opinion about that.
Half steppers.
Yeah. Fucking half steppers. Yeah. I hope that we're done with that. And then we actually get down and do some work. You know, and actually do some work that is actually going to change some shit, and we actually start progressing what we do out here, and not do that other thing that we speak about all the time. I actually want to stop doing that as well. I want to stop bitching about adverts where black people are HIV, because I'm hoping that we don't make any more of those motherfuckers, because we're done.
Ish.
We're done, dude. You know, people talk about that everywhere. Every time you meet people and tell them you're an advertiser, they say, "Oh, tell me, why are the black people driving?" And I actually don't have a decent answer except for that other thing that we keep talking about. We'll get to it. It drives the transformation.
Just because black people can dance.
Well, black people can do a whole lot of other things. We don't put that on TV all the time as well. We can also talk. You know that whole thing? We can have conversations. And I'm hoping we can have more black people having conversations in TV ads or being smart. You know what I mean? Not just driving.
Yeah, look, man. I think the jiving thing is done and dusted.
Yeah, we had that conversation.
We should have left that 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
But it also goes to showing how much influence we as the black creatives have within that space.
Or the lack thereof.
The lack of.
Yeah.
Because we all know that it's not so.
Yeah.
But somehow within that ad, you'll find there's a majority of the black creatives.
Yeah.
And it's probably produced by a black company, if they're lucky.
And it's people you know.
It's people
you know. You know what I mean?
Everyone will defend and say, you know, we can
we dance. We do dance, yeah.
That's great. That's how we celebrate life for everything else that comes with life. But can we just celebrate greatness?
Boom. 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 You heard it, guys. You heard it. Fuck it, yeah?
I know I...
You're like, get close to the mic, Buggy.
Yeah. So there's this ad, VW.
Right? She mentioned the brand name. Yeah?
Sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, let's go.
And what I found weird was that the ECD is black.
Yeah?
Right? And for me, I'm like, ow.
Yeah.
I thought we have moved away from this black people dancing a long time ago, because I think last year that was the only ad on TV that had really like old black people dancing.
Oh no, it wasn't the only one. Oh no, there was another one. There was another one.
TV, but for me that was the one that stood out. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
When, you know, a lot of black people drive that brand, and why is it that are we not showing how we can afford not just the lower brand, but you know,
they can also they also drive to mid-range. You know what I mean?
And we can also afford the percent.
Yeah. Look, I mean, this is something we spoke about extensively on the show. You know, like, and I think that I don't want to badger on it about it too much longer, but I do think that, you know, the diverse nature of us as a people needs to start coming across more in our ads. And that dancing is a thing that we do, but it's not the only thing that we do, like I said, you know, And like Reps also just mentioned, like there's a big process that happens, and even when the ECD is a black guy, you know that there's a whole bunch of other people around him who insist on certain things, and there's a whole bunch of other mandates need to be filled. You know what I mean? So we understand how complex this entire thing is, and we know it's not just one person. So one guy saying, "Hey guys, we can't just do that because, you know, the pressures come from a lot of places."
But have the power.
But I do think that power is also a very strange word. I do think that we do have enough of the influence, and enough of us are angered by it to actually change it. You know, so guys, good luck to us all in changing this beautiful narrative that we're all about.
It's easy. You can just look at coming to employ a black production company, help you change the perspective of how you look at things.
That's what's up.
Because research will take you so far, but insight will take you further. Hello.
I'm all for that.
Chocolate milk and cookies,
that's
baby.
What's up. It's your boy G-Man the Adman. Remember that. It's at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter or at CliffCentral.com. And remember that number once again, 079-748-2090. That is so crazy. Anyway, guys, but while we're talking about that, right? There's no way I was not going to talk about this. H&M. H&M.
I know SATS. We
had this discussion yesterday.
Yeah. Oh no, this discussion has been going on like a lot. But like, you know, I want us to kind of get into the merits of that entire thing. And I think that for me, I think that there are a lot of things that, like, especially when once you jump on social media and you hear everyone's perspective, you kind of realize that, wow, there could be a whole bunch of things at play here. One could just be the blatant fact that there are no black people in the agency, when the entire production process, entire printing process, that somebody, no, there was no one who could say, no, guys, this is some bullshit, right?
Yeah.
And that's one of the perspectives, right?
Yeah.
And then it's also very easy for them to just come back and say, oh, well, some people are saying, oh, guys, but they're also like a Swedish company, right? And like I wrote to, you know, is it too easy to blame them for being, well, what? Is it easy to blame them from being a Swedish company that doesn't understand the common parlance in the racism circles? You know, so maybe Swedish people don't know that black people are called monkeys, but I feel like they should know. You know what I mean? I feel like they should know.
There's no way they don't.
Yeah. You know, and it's just too convenient for me. For me, it just feels a little too convenient that argument that, like, no, guys, but maybe they don't know that, you know, people have been insulted like this for years. And then another thing was, is it okay to hate on the South African version of H&M because they didn't do it? I mean, the mother company in the mother ship somewhere, they did it, right?
Yeah.
And then does that stop us now from? I mean, I'd like to hear what your guys' opinions on it, because, like, I mean, I know that it all rots from the top, like we
they've said. Done it before.
And they've done it before.
So
tell us about that. Tell us about that.
So this is not the first H&M scam. I think, you know, these multinational companies that come here should really be sensitive. I mean, yes, you have a world global advertising campaign, but you know your brand reaches throughout the world.
That's right.
You need to be sensitive to every other aspect of the world.
It's so stupid, though, that people still don't see that.
Look, racism in Europe is a different kind of monster than we have it here.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
But if you're going to touch the rest of the world, you need to start then thinking across board.
Yeah.
So I think, look, I don't want to get to, but I think once in a while we'll have these companies throwing jabs at us because somehow they need to remind us
what
where we are in the fucking... in the food chain. Excuse the pun. Getting serious. But yeah, wrong is wrong.
Yeah, wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. So here's another theory that I heard about. That sometimes, in order to gain relevance, brands go out there and do shit like this. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
So in order to get us talking about them, and somehow it has a weird reverse effect in that it doesn't actually get us against them, but because they end up at the tip of our tongues, we have the brand recognition goes up and all that, and then some kind of purpose has been fulfilled. How much of that do you think is real? Let me ask you guys.
I think it's real.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we spoke about this yesterday, and somebody said, "Oh, after reading this about H&M, I actually remembered where it was centered.
Yeah.
That is like upstairs floor number what was.
You see? Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I actually forgot that there is H&M or that I can go shop for H&M.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's things like that that I think brands are pushing out there.
Yeah.
And the next week, this is going to all go away and it's going to be another scandal, but then H&M is going to be H&M. And I think we are still going to go buy H&M.
Yeah.
We won't stop.
It's insane, right? It really is horrible. Funny, I just got a tweet here from Timmy Goes to Palati. What's up, Timmy Goes? What's cutting, son? Happy New Year. He says, I was waiting for G-Man the Admin to discuss the H&M advert. Even when they were entering the South African market, they didn't have black models.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about. And apparently they said something along the lines of, we want our advertising or our clothes to be aspirational.
Yeah.
So not having black folk in their work is not aspirational. It's such a strange thing because, you know, wow. I mean, hello, H&M. You know, I'd love for someone there to actually, like, hit us up and tell us exactly what the fuck is on their minds. And whether this is how they do stuff.
Someone from H&M should hit us up.
Yeah. I would love for...
Let's get an inside story.
Maybe we can do that. Cheese is not in the studio today because we've got other commitments. But Cheese, I'm going to make sure that Cheese and I get somebody from H&M to actually give us their opinion about what happened here, because it's actually some bullshit. But here's the big conundrum, right? And I saw a comical video yesterday, some guy in the US saying, guys, I mean, fine, I hear it. And he says, I hope it's a mistake and I hope they come out and admit to it. Because like, I like their clothes. You know, he's like,
I like their clothes too.
They're cool in them.
Yeah, exactly. My kids look dope. My kids keep breaking shit.
And they're
breaking
affordable.
Their clothes. And this shit is affordable.
But
I really hope. And he said things about Dove as well. He's like, right now I'm boycotting Dove. My skin is boycotting every other soap. You know what I mean?
Do you guys notice how black people are so forgiving?
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, Mara, guys, maybe it was a mistake. Let's just forgive them. Let's just go and buy.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah. Let's just go and support. It's fine, guys.
But I mean, that's also, you know, a consequence of the fact that, you know, other things that we've spoken about, and we keep talking about all the time, the lack of alternatives for us to turn to. You know, like we had alternatives to turn to that could make us feel like, you know, like we can make a stand for real. You know, make a stand that makes us go, yeah, you know what? Fuck H&M. But there is an alternative to H&M where I can get shit like shit that feels like that costs that at another place that doesn't disrespect me. But there aren't many alternatives because, like you said, Russ, there are so many of these companies out there that are actually, it feels like they're taking turns. They're all taking turns at offending
us. Hello.
It's about H&M. It's about white brands.
Everyone's taking turns at taking jabs at us.
Yeah.
So we're kind of going, damn it, we really wish that. Yeah, anyway, it's tough out here, guys. Anyway, I feel like we've spoken enough about the heavy shit, guys. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. But actually, let's not forget that we have in the studio with me today, hey, chocolate, cream, cookies, and cream.
No.
Chocolate, milk, and cookies. That's the stuff.
Like Tribe Called Quest, Baba. Say it all.
Well, I've got you guys on this too, man. And once again, I'm really, really excited to have you guys here. And before we actually start chatting, once again, I want to give a huge shout out to my boy, Jacques Falcone, Moodley, for the beat that's playing in the background. It's called Star. And I'm hoping to see some and hear some dope shit out of coming out of there as well. Advertising people doing big things always makes me happy. So huge shout out to you, Mr. Falcone. Raps. Now I wanna chat. I need you guys to tell me now. Like before you guys came out here, right? I asked you guys outside. I was like, what are you guys working on? You guys are finishing some stuff from last year. How was last year for you guys? How was the last couple of months been for you guys?
I think let's get the kids to speak on behalf of that, because I think when I got them in,
yeah,
it was real fire already, you know.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So I'm sure they can share a bit of what really happens when we say we get busy.
Yeah.
I'm still sweating from last year.
Yeah.
It was dumb sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was unexpected. I was expecting to
to your kind
good.
Of chilled.
Oh, it's chilled. Yeah. No, it's not chilled.
It's work, right?
But it's exciting.
That's dope.
It's yeah. very exciting.
That's really, really cool.
It's hard work, but it's real fun. Mm. It's real
and,
good.
And what are some of the projects that you guys were working on last year that where all this learning came from?
Well, we came later on in the year, so we started in October. So the main focus that we've had is the two films that we shot.
Oh, hello.
Imota Yagufa.
Nonchalantly people talk about it. Yeah, we just shot two films. It's okay. Chill out. We just shot two films. Yeah?
Yeah, so the first was Tembi's Trial.
Oh yeah,
which was based on a female that.
Wait, is that the one that I've been seeing billboards for or posters for? Or is this Tembi? I think that one's just called Tembi.
No. The posters are not out yet for this one.
Oh hello. Oh, to your eyes peeled, yeah. Yeah, tell me about it. Are you allowed to talk about it? Like to kind of the plot or whatever.
Yeah, I mean we can share the synopsis.
Yeah.
So we can get people interested in what could be, what is coming.
Yeah.
Anyone wanna talk about that? But
shall I keep on with
right? Yeah.
So it's about postpartum depression, and it focuses about that struggle that a female would have in that space, who just recently had a kid, goes through that depression due to whatever, you know, neglect, the baby actually passes away.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we need to decide, is it because she was a bad mother, or is it because of the illness? And sometimes as females, we actually don't, we are disregarded in terms of we are not understood when it comes to, you know, mothering and
That's
how
right.
difficult a job it is, and how these illnesses are real. So it combats all of those issues in society of, you know, taking care of our women and actually understanding the trials they go through childbirth.
That sounds amazing.
It's deep though.
Yeah, it sounds hella deep.
It's a very educational movie, and it also, for me, teaching the man to say,
that's,
you know, you have a wife, you have a woman who's carrying your baby, she might be suffering from this and you might not even pick up the signs.
Yeah.
But possibly if you did know about this condition, you'd probably come in and help the situation.
That's what's up.
We know that most of the parents or the mothers would end up hurting themselves or killing the baby through that process. But if you know, as a society, if you know, as a husband, you can come in and help the situation and save a life.
Sure. That's insane, man. But so what? Wow. Producing something like this must be especially like, obviously, because it's like a topic that is like Rebs said, it's quite deep. And, you know, like, and what was that process like for you?
So, obviously, I get involved right from the script.
From jump, yeah.
Yeah, and I have to, you know, read the script to see if we can afford to shoot something like that.
Yeah.
And
make sure Raph doesn't spend all the cash on it once.
Oh, my God. You don't understand. So, it was, for me, as a black woman, these are things that are not discussed in our communities.
That's
and
right.
These are things that we are not aware of.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing. You know, and I hope the women out there, especially black women, that we get educated.
Yeah.
And I must say, just up the budget. You know, the budget was, you know, it was fine, but it could be higher.
That's why you got the expert with you. Experts can make it work, but I do agree with you.
Yeah.
If budgets were better, the movies would be better.
Imagine.
But at the same time, the hands, the hearts, and the minds that are on it, I also want to help tell the story, right?
Correct.
That's what's up. Dude, man, you must have had some, like, real learning and kind of immersing to do before this job.
Exhausting stuff, man.
Yeah.
And you know, it became a story that was very close to me, and I decided to take it hands on because, you know, there's a lot of issues that we don't discuss as communities, you know, that affects us psychologically and otherwise.
Yeah.
And this is one of the topics that I thought, you know, we all need to learn and know about.
Yeah, sure.
So we can help get grow a better community, society.
Insane, man.
And, you know, save our wives, save our mothers and our women. and make sure that we understand what they go through, you know?
You see, for me, I always ask this question of, like, you know, like, of filmmakers, especially filmmakers who make, you know, like, longer form, while also making, like, advertising that's, like, 35 seconds to 45 seconds. That, like, the amount of how impeccable you have to be with your ginsu when it comes to storytelling. You know what I mean? And how you have to kind of switch it up between kind of the long form and the ads and the 35 seconds. How easy is that switch for you? How easy or difficult is that switch for you?
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's like extremely, like, it really, like, took me at least 4 years to really catch onto the long form.
Yeah.
Telling a story, because in my head it's like,
this scene alone, we
can just get the story out.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and you realize that you have to drag things out and, you know, think of the dialogue and how it comes out and the performance that comes out.
And the nuances, right? Yeah.
The nuances. So it's a very tough transition. It took me 4 years to get to a space where I'm like, I'm comfortable with taking on a long form story. So it's not an easy transition at all. If you want to do it right, you got to give it time.
Yeah.
Just like any other thing, you know, you're a copywriter, you want to be an art director, you have to give it time.
That's right.
To learn and grow in that space so you can be the best in that space. So it's tough.
Sure.
And coming from, you know, I used to do 30 seconds for 800K.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing an hour for like a fraction of that.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh man,
it's sore.
Yeah.
It's very painful.
Yeah.
But when you work with boundaries, it forces you to be a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
With the little resources that you have.
That's what's up.
But it's back-breaking. But it's fun because you get to tell the stories that you really want to talk about.
That is so crazy. But Raps, I mean, you speak about how it's taken you 4 years to kind of get to this place, and I mean, you and I go a long time back into...
don't open the closet door now.
But that's what this show is about, though. I'm trying...
Okay, let's open it.
I want to talk about some of the stuff that you did before. But, like, but essentially, I want to talk about, like when it started for you. You know, like, when people Google your name and put it in there, you know, the first thing it says is that it's Catch from DK. Shout out to the homies out in DK. What's going on? Your boys out your Raps representing.
DK Maboneng.
That's what's up. And that, you know, it started for you when you were a kid. You were like 10, and you picked up a stills camera, it says. You know, but I also know these romantic stories. I don't also like how people write these things. He first picked up a pencil and started writing when he was 4. And he's been writing adverts ever since. So how did it start for you? At what point did you kind of go, give us what led Raps to this place?
So I come from a family of creatives.
That's right.
My grandfather was a photographer.
Oh, okay.
So all my uncles were photographers.
Okay.
So cameras were like just things that were like laying around in the house.
Yeah.
And I've always been interested in, you know, working with the camera. And I remember getting my first camera was a very excited space mood for me. And soon as I put my eye in that viewfinder, and seeing the world with a different perspective, then that was it. The bug was already instilled, and I just kept going from there. So I did stills for a very long time. But knowing, you know, from where I was coming from, it was like a more of a passion than a professional thing.
Well, you're one of those kids at school, you know, those kids at school that you always got the sense that they knew something else you didn't. You know what I mean? Like, those kids are just like, guys, let's just get through, like, this med science stuff and whatever. I just want to get to that thing, the thing that I actually love. You know what I mean? Were you one of those kids?
No, I was morphing myself quite well, you know?
Yeah.
I was a very academic child as well. But that was
taking photos of everybody.
No, that was my hobby at home.
Okay, you know,
I didn't merge it with my academics. It was my hobby at home.
Yeah.
It cost me a lot of money because thinking back then, shooting with a stills camera using a film. That's money. That means that if you don't know how to operate your camera, you get a 35 reel.
Yeah.
But you get 4 pictures out because You didn't
because
know
you
how
fucked
to.
It up.
You fucked it up. So it cost me a lot of money. Yeah. But eventually, when you get it right, you know, you get excited about it and you just keep.
Yeah.
You just want to keep going.
Remember back in the day in the hood, there always used to be like one or two guys who took photos. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the kids now, everyone has a camera on their phone. Back in the day, there used to be like in my hood, there was a guy called Mpaka. You know? Yeah. And like Sundays, everyone used to dress up and kind of go, if Mpaka comes by, we're taking a photo. You know what I mean?
I refuse to be that guy. Because I hated seeing people posing. Yeah. Even you see some of the work that I've done, I don't do posing
poses,
people.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather put a long lens and go stand two blocks away.
Yeah,
and get an authentic, pure moment.
That's what's up.
So when I show you the picture 7 years later, you'll be like, yo,
that's hot.
What was I happy about?
Yeah.
Where was I?
Oh,
remember this? But when you pose, it just takes all the honesty away,
I hear you.
So, yeah.
That's crazy. So when did that then transform into moving pictures? You know, at what point did you kind of go, you know, I've done the stills of my eye for stills and everything is done and it's dope, but I feel like I need to move on to you know, telling stories through moving pictures now.
And then when I was in tertiary,
Where'd you go to tertiary?
I went to, then it used to be called, Vets Technicon?
Yes, Vets Tech.
Vets Tech.
That's what's up. No. Everyone knows about that place.
Yeah. Vets Tech. I went to Vets Tech in Auckland Park.
Oh, that's what's up.
And
shout out to all the homies at Vets Tech, Auckland Park.
And
what's going on?
Everyone that was at Vets Tech during those 4 years with me, kind of like, no, I went a bit rogue during that time.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
I think, newfound freedom, liberation, and, it just kind of like helped me come out a bit.
Yeah.
I've always been a very...
Come out, eh?
What's the word? Introverted type of person.
Yeah.
But
and then you broke loose, eh?
I broke loose, man. And I'm still like shocked. I meet people today. They're like, yeah, you went to, I remember you.
Yeah.
Because me and my team used to do the most, you know, we were like the most popular people in the campus.
Yeah.
Like, that group.
Yeah. Anybody who was at Vestek with this man, hit us up. I don't know.
Kendero was in that group.
Yeah.
Eric was in that group. Pubesi.
Oh, that's
it. It was just a mixture.
It's very clear now.
Yeah. But it was fun. From there on, I was always interested in the TV market.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to act at some point.
Yeah.
I got a few gigs and I realized that, this is not really.
Yeah, not quite.
I'm a little bit too self-conscious.
You got some acting gigs.
I did get some acting gigs. I did two commercials.
Oh yeah.
Back then, yeah.
You were always coming to this world, weren't you?
Yeah,
you
I was. It was small, slowly drawing me towards that space.
Yeah.
And then I realized now I'm a little bit too self-conscious.
Yeah.
For being I left the retail space.
Yeah.
Then I used to be manager at Diesel.
Oh, that's what's up.
And I started in the advertising space.
Yeah.
You know, I started working as a PA, picking up cigarette butts.
Yeah.
For like 2 years.
There it is.
I've done a lot of coffees.
Yeah.
Made a lot of coffees.
Love on our interns. No one is picking up cigarette butts and making coffees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the first thing I realized that I'm always drawn to the DOPs.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like just here next to this guy. Because the camera was there.
That's right.
You know, and I've been asking questions, but because I come from a still, so I understand the technicalities of the camera itself.
Yeah.
You know, I used to interest a lot of DOPs. They're like,
how do you know all that?
How do you know? So how would you do this? Like, curve balls just to see, and I'm like, answers. Then and so they'd be like, yo, come sit here, see what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I got interested. And from there, I got into producing space.
Yeah. So do you ever have ambitions of doing DOP work? Or have you done DOP work as well?
Or
do you
do
your stuff right now as well?
I do, but like I said earlier, with anything you want to switch into, you got to give it that time
that's
and space
up.
For
that's what's up.
So I will get there eventually. I am a closet a DOP.
Yeah.
But you gotta give people that do it best an opportunity to make you look better because they can do it better than you.
That's what's up.
So yeah, maybe in the next 4 years when we're sitting here, we'll be talking about
refs the DOP.
The first one that I shot myself.
Oh, that's dope, man. Yeah. So when was your break into directing commercials? Like which one was it? Which one is the one that made you go, yeah, man, I think I got this?
So I took a chance. Then I was still working with a fresh water, Freeze Films.
Freeze Films, yeah.
I was at Freeze Films, freelancing there.
Yeah.
And I had an amazing idea, and I took it to one of the producers, and I was like, yo, I want to shoot a Voga.
Oh, that's what's up. Oh, I remember the Vugas.
I went around and I collected film stock. I asked for favors. I shot one. Came out amazing.
That's dope.
I had a lot of nominations for that.
Hello.
And I didn't get anything at the end of the night. Yeah. But everyone in the industry was like, but who's that guy?
Yeah. Yeah,
and
that's
I started
right.
getting a lot of calls. You know, people like, yo, come through.
Because sometimes it's all you need, right? Sometimes it's all you need is to get out there.
Yeah, where have you been? I'm like, no, but I'm a production manager. Just like, yo, come through.
Come have a chat.
The first break that I got, it became a little bit messy because I didn't understand the directing space and what it entails and the politics that comes with it.
Yeah.
I was not ready, so I just left it. I was like, okay, cool. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm going back into producing. Until Terraplane once came, when I was then at Terraplane as a production manager, they were like, yo, we're looking for a director. You know, we're trying to get a black director into the mix.
That's right.
So you here, we've seen what you can do. Do you want to take this opportunity? And I was like, if you're looking for a black director, I'm not that guy.
Boom! You need to be looking for a fucking director.
If you're looking for a director, let's talk.
That's right.
And they were like, okay, excuse the language. We're looking for a director.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at so and so and so and so, but let's go with you. And then it started from there.
So
full time, 4 years later, I was at Terraplane. I did some good, amazing work while I was there.
Yeah.
And it never stopped from there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yes, it's quite an inspiring story. You know, I feel like every time I sit in this chair and I hang out with people like yourself, it's always like, damn it, you never realize all these people that you hang out with how kind of worldly their views are on things and kind of also how similar we all kind of think about things. Especially like things like, I don't want to be the first black anything. Don't make me the first black anything.
No,
shut the fuck up. Make me what you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Talking about being the thing. Right,
yeah.
And I think that's really, really cool. You know, I say every week, like, it's amazing how quickly the hour flies by because we're almost out of time, right? But there's some things that I still want to get out of you guys before you guys leave. You know, like I don't know what have you guys planned for the next couple of months? What do you guys plan for the year? What does the takeover look like? Can you even talk about that? Can you talk about the blueprint of the takeover? Yeah,
I think since we didn't close throughout the festive season, all we were doing is really trying to figure out what we're doing for the year.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of collaborations.
Oh, dope.
Chocolate Milk and Cookies, we are very big on collaborations.
Yeah.
Because we believe that we need to complement each other.
Yeah.
As black companies.
Yeah.
And collaborate more. Because everyone's got their own little spaza shops, you
know? That's right.
But if we put all of these spaza shops together, we can have a nice supermarket.
That's right. That's what I'm having jumbo.
Yeah, you know, get a young jumbo going on. So we've got a lot of collaborative projects. We've got two documentaries that we are collaborating on.
Excellent.
We've got two short films that we are collaborating on.
Look at you guys, man.
Yeah, working on our
internship. The work is coming now.
Yeah, we're working on our first feature film with the KZN Film Commission.
Dope.
And Mzansi DSTV has been showing us love.
Yeah.
So we're doing quite a few projects with them lined up for the year.
That's fantastic.
Are
you going to be doing some commercials?
I just want to say we're climbing for agencies.
That's what I'm saying. Should we still call you? I mean,
Yeah.
I mean, you sound like you're going to be busy, you know, taking over the world.
So commercials is a prime business.
That's right.
So long form is the love business.
Yeah.
So we'll always do a commercial first before we do anything.
Excellent. Okay, well, that sounds good to me. That makes me feel better now.
Yeah. No. We're all about commercials.
Yeah.
But we're also realistic about the demographics of the commercial world.
Hello.
Yeah.
You thought he wouldn't, but he did.
Yeah. No, they don't come every day. So,
that's right. Yeah.
Whilst we're waiting.
Then we gotta work, right?
You gotta work.
Yeah.
You're only as good as you behind the camera.
That's right.
You know, I'd rather you find me really sharpened up than I'm being rusty because my last job was 6 months ago.
6 months ago, I hear.
I'm fresh every time because I'm always behind the camera.
Boom!
So come out there. We're going for the commercials. We want all the companies to look at us.
That's right.
We'll be knocking at every agency. Please do give us a chance because I know it's really hard to get in.
Yeah.
We are new, we are fresh, and we are level 1 BEE.
That's what's up. All those things, all those important things. And I want to hear from you ladies. I mean, what are you guys hoping to achieve in the next couple of months? I mean, what are you hoping to walk away with at the end, when, if we have this conversation this time next year, where do you guys want to be at?
I was hoping I got in the production,
yeah,
because I wanted to learn how to edit.
That's right.
So I wanted to learn more of that.
Excellent.
It'll be much appreciated. But I know it's coming.
Listen to the kids, y'all. Let's go. Yeah.
This time next year, I would like to be CEO.
Boom!
Yes! Yes!
Hello.
Yeah, no man. I'm just out here trying to learn as much as possible. I feel as though we're still very new in the industry, still trying to find our footing. So
yeah.
Just trying to make sure that, you know, we know where our skills actually lie best.
That's right. So, yeah. That's right. Some inspiring shit, man. Refs, you're doing some big things, brother.
So next year this time they would definitely have written, shot, edited their first movie.
Boom, boom. I fucking love that. That excites me a shitload. Guys, like I said, I can't believe once again I'm back here in the brand new year. And it feels like the hours still fly by, which actually means that we're actually still having fun. And that makes sense to me. If we're not having fun, then we're not doing this right, I think. But thank you so much for coming through, guys. I feel like this is the perfect start to the year for me.
Thank you, man.
I think Raps, what you're doing with kind of expanding the way you're telling stories and kind of expanding your team, man. And it inspires me because I'm hoping that, you know, this is something that becomes normal out there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Right. But fuck, man. Congratulations on dope shit and good luck on everything you're gonna be doing going forward. Your final word. One more thing you want to say to the people before I let you go.
Yeah. All the agencies out there, if you're looking for authentic black stories from the heart.
Yeah.
This is where we are. Chocolate milk and cookies.
Boom.
Give us a chance.
Where can people hit you up? What's email addresses? What's your website?
info@chalkmilkandcookies.tv.
Okay.
reps@chalkmilkandcookies.tv, or you can get hold of Pakiso at Chalk Milk and Cookies, www.chalkmilkandcookies.tv.
Boom! Boom! That's what's up. You got it, guys. It's your boy, G-Man the Ant-Man. It's another hour. And it's been another dope hour of hanging out. I think that I'm always inspired by the people who come through this year. So once again, thank you. We're back at it. And like I say, and like I was saying last year as well, this advertising thing is tough, guys. So take care of yourselves, take care of those briefs, and most importantly, take care of each other. Because it's shitty out there, but it also can get amazing. And once again, like I say every day, man, if the show was on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. But it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Thank you once again. I'll be right here with you again next week. Boom!
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man the Ad-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the
Ant-Man. Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.